This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 71 in the back section of the Bible. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" They could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place,' and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they would invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of this reading of God's holy word. Let us pray together. Lord, as we've read and heard from this morning's scripture, that Jesus was an interesting dinner guest, not one to mince words. We might know some people like him in our own eating patterns. But Lord, we need to just not only look at what Jesus was doing, but what he was saying and what he was trying to teach the people. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do any of these phrases sound familiar? Take your hat off at the table. Put the napkin in your lap. Wait until everyone is served. Don't eat with your mouth full. Sit up straight. Keep your elbows off the table. If you've finished eating, please ask to be excused from the table. These are just a few of the table manners most of us were taught when we were young, and ones we probably have repeated to our children and perhaps even our grandchildren over the years. Almost all of us like to eat. And even Jesus is recorded as sitting down with friends and strangers numerous times to break bread and chew the fat. He eats with tax collectors and religious leaders. He feeds a multitude with only a few small loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He sends out his messengers, telling them to preach and heal and eat whatever anybody offers them. Frequently, when Jesus was at a meal, the meal became a teachable moment for him, which is happening in this morning's scripture. In the first verse of Luke chapter 14, we learn that having Jesus to dinner is an opportunity for the religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, to watch Jesus closely. They've been doing this since their last dinner, recorded in chapter 11 of Luke, where Jesus showed up without having properly or ceremoniously bathed first. And then he read them the riot act about what he considered their hypocrisy. Besides hypocrites, Jesus called them fools, grave diggers, murderers, and exploiters of the poor. Not the best way to win friends and influence people. So why would they want to eat with Jesus again? The meal in today's text was not just any meal. It was a Sabbath dinner. And the host wasn't just any old Pharisee, but a leader of the Pharisees, probably one of the primary leaders, the primary teachers. We might expect Jesus to be on his best behavior at such an important setting. But as Jesus often did, was he didn't fit into the mold that we might expect him to. Not a chance did he, do that and be the perfect dinner guest. He heals a man just before dinner starts, going against the way the Pharisees interpreted the commandment to not work on the Sabbath. Then, as the guests are finding their seats, he offers them some advice. In the first century, people reclined at dinner tables, dinner parties. The food was served on very low tables, and the guests leaned back with their left elbow on a dining couch. And if you think about a low bench that with one inclined end with throw pillows on it to make it more comfortable. So they're leaning back on their left elbow and they eat with their right hand. The tables were usually arranged in the shape of a U. And the best seats were the ones closest to the center, because there the people could see and hear better than the people on the outside, on the ends. If the dining room would not hold all the guests, the host might set up tables and spaces just outside the room. Those guests could see, but they could not be part of the conversation between the people at the center of the table. Just imagine the surprise when Jesus said to those reclining at the table, should arise from their most privileged seats and trade seats with the persons assigned to the lesser places. The leaders think he's kidding, of course. But Jesus thinks that fighting over the best seat, like fighting over who's the best disciple, or fighting over money or power in any form, is foolish. In Jesus' view, God's kingdom is a place where a sick, penniless beggar, when he dies, gets the spot right next to Abraham in the big cookout in heaven. Nothing he did here on earth mattered. In Jesus' view, the only way to be great is to be a servant. In his vision of the kingdom, the master serves dinner to the slaves rather than the other way around. If the last will be first and the first will be last, then status and status markers have all disappeared. But that wasn't how life was. Reality continued to differ from the view Jesus had for the world. Years later, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, not just about their day-to-day dining manners, but how they should behave in worship and when they shared the Lord's Supper. In chapter 11 of his first letter, Paul writes these words, "When you meet together as a group, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for as you eat, you each go ahead with your own meal, so that some are hungry while others get drunk. Don't you have your own homes in which to eat and drink? Or would you rather despise the church of God and put to shame the people who are in need? Instead, my friends, when you gather together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for everyone, wait for one another, And if any of you are hungry, you should eat at home, so that you will not come under God's judgment as you meet together. Things had not changed much between the years of Jesus' earthly ministry and the years of the early church. Have things changed much since the early church to today? We're supposed to be a status-free group, with all of us as equal brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm not so sure that we are. We tend to group ourselves by income, education, or other status markers. We may not fight over what seat we sit at during a church potluck lunch, but we often don't choose to sit with people who are not a lot like us. After the combined worship service in 2 weeks, as I announced earlier, we're going to have lunch together with members of Casa de Fe. Where will folks sit? Based on prior similar events, the majority of each congregation will probably cluster around their own members, living out the adage, birds of a feather flock together. Why have a combined meal if we segregate ourselves? True, it would require many of us to move outside our usual insulating comfort zone to seek out someone we don't know and then to sit down and eat together. But just imagine what we might learn and share by conversing with someone whom we don't know, who has had a different life experiences, who has the same Christian beliefs, but may practice them in different ways. The status markers that tend to separate us in society would not be important as we sit down together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Returning to today's text, having challenged the guests on their choice of seating places, Jesus then turns his focus on his host. The guests of this dinner seem to have been fellow Pharisees or lawyers, well-educated, friends and peers, and associates of the leader host. Don't invite this lot to your parties, says Jesus, because they'll just invite you back. That'll be your reward. Instead, invite the poor, the disabled, and the homeless, and your return invitation will come from God, at God's welcome table in the future. Jesus, again, is not kidding. The host may have thought he was, but Jesus is dead serious. He wants his followers to invite the poor and those whom society has labeled as different or undesirable to their tables. The phrase, don't invite your friends and family or your brothers and family members, is a hyperbole. He doesn't mean never, but he does mean that we also should be hosting others in addition to our family and our friends. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing as followers of Jesus? Are we following the teachings he offers in this scripture text today? If we choose to sit and eat only with our friends and family, with those already like us and already connected to us, as the Corinthians seem to have been doing, we're not eating as Jesus ate. If we hurriedly gobble up all the delicious morsels and leave only the remnants for those less fortunate, we really are not following the teachings of Jesus. If we want our fellowship meals and our communion meals to truly represent Jesus' habits, then we'll eat with the poor, we'll drink with those whom society has labeled as disabled or been separated from the normal, and we'll even invite our enemies to dine with us. For everyone is welcome when Jesus is the host. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we learn several things from this text from Luke's gospel. mostly about how Jesus patterned his behavior around mealtime, sometimes shattering the societal norms, but reaching out and saying that we need to sometimes look beyond ourselves. We need to look at those that are not being included and reach out to them. Lord, we thank you for the examples and the teachings we have from Jesus. We pray that as his followers today, that we may pattern our lives after his instructions and his behavior. We know, Lord, that we are not Jesus and we don't have the insight that he does. We pray that the Bible has the lessons that we need, and we pray that we may live those lessons out by reaching beyond what society calls acceptable, to reach out to those whom society says are not acceptable, and to welcome them into our fellowship, welcome them into our hearts and into our homes here at this church, to say that Jesus cares about you, and we care about you too. Lord, help us to be more faithful, more active in our discipleship, and in following Jesus. We ask this all in his name. Amen.